Very familiar tune, but some rather different words from the ones I'm used to, but very good words. But good to recognize how great is our God. And I think that's the key element of any service of worship, that we bow before him, that we are humble enough to recognize that we are who we are, but he is who he is. How great is our God. Now then, how many of us here this morning, I'm sure there may be a few, I'd be surprised if there aren't, who perhaps, when I read the story of Zacchaeus, knows the little chorus that was sung in Sunday school. He was a very little man who climbed the tree. I'd like us to look at this familiar story this morning. The problem with it is, it's familiar, and we know it. But I'd like to think that with God's help and God's leading, we'll be able to look afresh and see something there that not so much is new, but we need reminding of. Because that's the nature of God's word very often. Sometimes it can bring us something new completely, but oftentimes it's just a reminder of truths that we know, perhaps we have forgotten, but we just need to refocus upon. And so the story of Zacchaeus this morning. One of life's more unattractive experiences is to find oneself regularly left out or kept out of a group. A refusal by the group to include you in its activities, in its resources, in its news. You're left out. And the feeling that you're not part of them. Sometimes that can happen in a work situation. I'm sure something similar comes to mind very readily. Sometimes it can happen within friendship groups. Sadly, as we know, it can sometimes happen even within families. There is this sense of keeping somebody out of the loop, as we sometimes say. To be ostracized by others is not a pleasant experience. And if it's a constant experience, it can be very distressing. Sometimes that ostracizing process is deliberate. Occasionally, it may be unintentional. But if you are the one on the receiving end and you are the one constantly left out, it doesn't matter whether it's intentional or otherwise. It hurts and it's not nice. You may make moves to be accepted into the group and you try your best only to be rejected. That's even more hurtful. Of course, we have to recognize there may be good reasons why you have been excluded. Perhaps it's something to do with your manner, something to do with your habits. Perhaps it's your general behavior and demeanor. Whatever the circumstances, most of us, most of the time, like to be included. To be constantly excluded is a horrible experience. Zacchaeus was someone ostracized by society. Someone who was very much an outsider. But is very much surprised by Jesus' acceptance. And that's the first thing I want to flag up this morning. The fact that Zacchaeus, well, he was used to being ostracized. People turn in their backs on him. But here we have a story where Zacchaeus was accepted. The little we know about him, he was a chief tax collector and he was wealthy, says verse 2. He lived in a place called Jericho, which was a prosperous trade center. There would have been much in the way of customs revenue to be collected. And so Zacchaeus would have been bound to be very unpopular because of his job. And doubly so if he seemed to be being dishonest in running and doing that job. And notice he was a chief tax collector. He would have had others working under him. And as the chief, he would have had authority, perhaps to even pose a threat to people, because he could report them, rightly or wrongly, for not paying their taxes. He posed a threat. They could be arrested because of his false testimony. We're also told that he was very short. I like that because I can identify with that. I know what it's like. You go to see something, but you can't see over. But I've yet to resort to climbing trees. He wanted to see Jesus, says verse 3. So he ran ahead and he climbed a tree. You can imagine how unlikely the crowd would have been to let him through to a space at the front so that he could see better. No way is he coming past me, because that's how they reacted to him. Nevertheless, he makes every effort to see Jesus, even setting aside his dignity to go and climb a tree in order to see. And Jesus, it appears, is seeking Zacchaeus. For he stops. Jesus stops at that point. And he looks up, we're told, and he calls to him by name to come down immediately. I must stay at your house today, says verse 5. And so, with this man, Jesus, Zacchaeus is not ostracized and he's not excluded. He is accepted and welcomed. So, instead of further rejection, Jesus accepts him. Now, it was pretty unusual practice to invite oneself to someone else's house. And yet that's what Jesus does here. And it was very unusual for a Jew, Jesus was a Jew, for a Jew to enter a tax collector's house. Unheard of. That doesn't happen. That's making the Jew unclean. But not only to enter the person's house, but to share with him in his food. This was truly unusual behavior. But then again, there is nothing usual about Jesus. Zacchaeus responds immediately, we're told. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly, says verse 6. He responded warmly and gladly to Jesus' warm acceptance of him. You see, the good news of the Christian message is one of a Savior that we worship brings acceptance. Whoever you are. And so we have, firstly, a picture here of Jesus accepting the outsider. But secondly, I draw your attention to the fact that we have a picture here also of what it means to have true repentance. Because Zacchaeus exemplifies that. The story helps us to understand the importance of recognizing our failings, of understanding our faults, of being sorry for our sins, and deciding to turn around and away from them, and to show true repentance. A meaningful sorry requires action to support it. It needs a change of direction and not just an empty word. Verse 8, we read this of Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, look. Here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus addresses Jesus here first of all. He says, "Look, Lord," possibly out of recognition that he has sinned, yes, but he has sinned against God as well as his fellow citizens. And there are other examples of that same attitude. Thinking of King David in Psalm 51. "It is against you I have sinned," says King David in that psalm. And it seems to me that Zacchaeus here addresses, first of all, Jesus himself. But he recognizes his faults to others. And note also his immediate offer of restitution, of making good. "Here and now," he says. No attempt to simply make empty promises for some time in the future. We're good at that. I put it right. "Here and now. I want to put things right straight away." And he realizes the seriousness of his sins by the extent of his offer of restitution. He goes well beyond any demands that the law would make of him, such as in Exodus chapter 22. And Zacchaeus is going well beyond that. And he's saying, "I'll do more than that. I want to put things right. Half my possessions. And if I owe anybody," because he knows he's cheated people, "I'll pay them four times the amount." A recognition of the seriousness of his wrongdoing. His repentance was confirmed by his actions. He wasn't just saying the right words. Just a short story as an illustration of this. A true story from a past generation. Apparently, during a service, several ladies had agreed to give their testimonies as part of the worship. Several of them spoke, and they spoke in terms of their newfound faith and how much they loved the Saviour. That was their testimony. After they had spoken, the last of the ladies, the group, she refused to speak. She refused to give her testimony, even though she'd agreed to do so. After the service, the minister inquired privately why She had not shared her testimony as she had agreed. She said, well, you see, each of the ladies that had spoken before me know that they owe me a fair amount of money. And they refuse to pay me. And they know that life for me and my children is a real struggle financially. She refused to give her testimony because she had just listened to people who'd given what she considers a fairly empty testimony. Because they hadn't followed up their good words with their good deeds. A testimony with its claim to faith and a devotion to the Lord is rendered worthless if it is not supported by action. It ceases to be genuine. A note finally regarding his repentance. Zacchaeus' offer of restitution was not made in order to obtain acceptance, but it was in response to it. He had been invited, or rather, Jesus invited himself into his house. He'd been accepted. This restitution was not to achieve that acceptance. It was in glad response to the fact that the Saviour had welcomed him and had accepted him. In our response to the Lord, our changed life is not that we may obtain acceptance and forgiveness. That will never be enough. But it is in generous response to his grace and favour. And so we have, first of all, a picture of Jesus, contrary to everybody else, instead of rejecting, was now accepting this man Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, in response, was gladly not only welcoming Jesus, but wanting to put things right in terms of true repentance. But then lastly, I can't help reading the story again and not noting the picture of amazing grace. Notice how the story of Zacchaeus emphasizes the amazing grace of God. Of all the people to share fellowship with Jesus, he chooses the chief tax collector. Hear the people mutter in verse 7. He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner. Someone ostracized by the community, who is seen to be in league with the hated Roman occupier. It is surprising that Jesus would even bother with such a character. And yet, despite the people's grumbles and criticisms, Jesus accepts and visits and shares with Zacchaeus. There is no mistake on Jesus' part. He makes it clear that he is doing this because he's come to seek and to save the lost. As verse 10 says, his grace, his undeserved favor, reaches out even to the likes of Zacchaeus. Or perhaps I should say, even to the likes of you and me. Isn't it amazing grace that he seeks out you and me and offers full acceptance into his kingdom work. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And for anyone who has not yet come to the Saviour in repentance and faith, recognize from the example of Zacchaeus that it isn't a question of being good enough for Jesus. Zacchaeus couldn't claim that. It's not a question of being good enough. He has come to seek the lost. No doubt Jesus could see not only as Zacchaeus was, but I'd like to think he could see Zacchaeus as he could become, following his acceptance and his true repentance. And the same is true for us. He looks upon us, and because of his amazing grace, he accepts us. And he wants to make us more like him. So, in conclusion this morning, Jesus announces, today salvation has come to this house. That's what he proclaims there in verse 9. Salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come because in Jesus we can be fully accepted into God's family. Salvation has come because of a real and genuine change of life and true repentance. Salvation has come because of the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name. Amen.